in a series in the evening services of exploring the Book of Psalms. And one of the beauties of the Book of Psalms is they just cover it all. In our first psalm, you have a sort of psalm of worship, expounding the glory of God. And in our second psalm, you have a psalm of honesty. A man in a desperate place being counseled to run for your life. And something within him holding him and saying, no, I'm going to hang on in there. I'm going to trust in God. So let's first look at our first psalm. O Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens through the praise of children and infants. You have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of him? Human beings that you care for them. Well, I wonder if any of you saw the meteor shower last night. Did anyone lie out in their back garden looking up to the...
No.
No? Not even one? Neither did I. But I'm sure it was amazing. It was all full. It was on full in the BBC News website. And stuff. You must see it. And the amazing thing was, it described it as dust. It's dust left over from a comet. And yet we can see these amazing scenes. Well, okay. So you didn't lie out in the grass last night looking up to the heavens. Let's try again. I wonder if any of you have been to a place where there's none or very little light pollution. And it's been a dark night and you've just looked up at the sky. Okay, right, okay. It's amazing, isn't it? It's there in Biddulph, but because of the light pollution and the things, we just can't see the beauty and the wonder that the psalmist speaks of here. I was very fortunate to have lived in Swaziland in southern Africa for a year. And one of the sort of plus sides of very little electricity and lots of power cuts is that the sky is amazing. Where we were up in the high veld, they're just literally, once the sun set, you were plunged into darkness. And you just look up to the heavens. And it was just incredible. We're used to seeing the odd star, aren't we? And we'll point out to our children, that's the pole star or that's Orion's belt. In an African sky with no light pollution, it's like a spider's web. You know those spider's webs that you see when they're covered in the dew? And it's just glistening. The sky is like that. It's incredible. It's wondrous. So often, we're in the grooves of our own little lives, creatures of our own routines. The reality is we're a bit like ants. We're scurrying around, busy doing our job, getting on with things. And we feel like we're masters of our own destiny. We achieve, we get things done. We create, we make decisions that impact on others. We dilemmaize, we wrestle with things, and then we act. We exercise power and responsibility. But when we look up, we're reminded of the true reality that we're just amateurs. Well, maybe President Trump isn't a good example. Even great world leaders, even powerful men and women, the rich and the famous. When you look up to the heavens, you realise we're amateurs, we're but ants. God has set his glory in the heavens. Our psalmist reminds us of that. The starry galaxies, the unfathomed depths of time and space are just finger play to God. Finger play. I love that expression. I don't know about you, but I kind of think about putting galaxies together. Has that been hard work? You at least have to put a bit of effort into it. You have to put your back into it. You need big muscle. It's just finger play. It's just sort of like that. Isn't that incredible? That those amazing starry heavens that just put us into perspective and make us feel so small and insignificant. God, our Creator, just put them together with finger play. Just delicately. Expressing Himself, expressing His love for us. But it wasn't an effort. He wasn't struggling. It didn't take all that He had. It was more artistry than force. We build great big concrete monstrosities into the sky, don't we? And go, "Cool, look what we've done. We've built the tallest tower. We've built the longest bridge. We've achieved this with technology. We can now do this. Aren't we good? Haven't we achieved? Aren't we? We're conquering nature. We're shaping the world." The reality is, we aren't even in the same league. Not even close. It's so easy to lose the marvel, isn't it? It's so easy to get that ant-like mentality. Head down. Just get on. I wonder if you think about it. Have you lost that sense of marvel? Have you lost that sense of mystery and wonder? Are you in danger of God being shrunk down? The psalmist points us to children and infants. They have it. They have that sense of wow, that hunger for discovery, that willingness to stop and to wonder and to worship. The psalmist says we would do well to recover it. "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them?" There's an honesty there, isn't there? The psalmist is almost asking, why do you put up with us? Why do you watch us mouthing off about how great you are and what you're doing when actually you're so much greater? Why do you tolerate our indifference? Why do you tolerate our arrogance? Why do you bother with us? The psalmist asks. And there I imagine the psalmist pausing for prayer. Wrestling with that question, almost, why does God stick with us? And then the counsel of the Holy Spirit comes. God speaks to the psalmist and he senses the answer of his own question rising up in him. It's because of who God is. It's because of who God made us to be. The psalmist continues in verse 5, "You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honour." He's talking about us. "You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the path of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." We are created with a purpose. You may not feel like it when you look at yourself in the mirror in the morning, but you are the high point of God's creation. God, the originator, the creator, created us, created you, created humanity to reveal himself. I wonder how you're doing. I have my moments where I think, there's something of God's character being evidenced in me, but there are also moments where I think, I'm not reflecting well here. Genesis tells us humankind were created in his image. We were created to speak more fully of who he is than all of creation. Isn't that mind-blowing? That as we look upon the stars, as the psalmist says, look at the wonder. Actually, there's more of God's wonder revealed in us. You see, we don't just show what God can do. We were created to show something of what he is like. We're given dominion, authority, the ability to shape his creation, to interact with it and shape it. We were crowned with glory and honour. But that takes us to our second psalm. It's a psalm that captures something of how wrong the world has gone. As we hear it, evil seems to prosper. In this psalm, the Lord's anointed, the king, the firstborn amongst all the people of Israel, is being cancelled. Flee for your life. The wicked who oppose him threaten his very life. And those who love him most implore him to save his skin, to give in, to run away, just to save himself. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. A king reduced to fleeing into the dust. In our first psalm, we pointed to the high point of creation. Now overcome by that same darkness, weak, fragile, our lives and our world are corrupted by selfishness and darkness. We can see that, can't we? We know that God has made us in his image. But my goodness, when we look at the newspapers, and actually when we look in the mirror, things are not as we would want them to be. And we know they are not as God would want them to be. So how do we respond? There are still those who would offer the counsel offered to King David. Flee. Give in. Save yourself. But is that real counsel? If we were to run, where would we run to? How does David respond? In the Lord I take refuge. How then can you say to me, flee like a bird to your mountain? He looks to God for deliverance. He continues, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. He observes everyone on earth. His eyes examine them. The Lord examines the righteous, but the wicked, those who love violence, he hates with a passion. On the wicked he will rain fiery coals and burning sulphur. A scorching wind will be their lot. For the Lord is righteous. He loves justice. The upright will see his face. David puts his trust in the sovereignty and character of God. His circumstances are bleak. But he trusts in the sovereignty and character of God. He understands that however bleak things might look, however upside down things should appear, he knows that the Lord is righteous, that he upholds justice, and that the upright will see his face. It'll all come out in the wash. It'll come good. We live in a mixed up, messed up world. Everything is upside down. We look at the news and chaos reigns. Evil seems to prosper. Hatred seems to be winning. Love and compassion seems to be out of fashion. Many say there is no God. Many say that right is wrong and wrong is right. Many say, pursue selfishness. Live the dream. Look out for number one. Many say there are no consequences. Treat relationships as disposable. That's fine. Treat our worlds as disposable. You don't have to worry about it. You'll be long gone. What an inglorious people we have become. How far have we come from our creative purpose? What should we do? Well, let's follow the example of David. There is the voice that says, flee, run, hide away. We should trust in the Lord and stand firm in his nature and purposes. This coming week through Vibes, we have the opportunity to encourage 100 young people to follow Jesus, to impact 100 families in Biddulph with the good news that all is not lost, that God is good, that God is love, and there is another way. My encouragement to each of us this week is to be praying for Vibes. We can't deny that there are voices in our society who would say, you shouldn't really do that. Keep your faith to yourself. By all means, through a children's club, but don't Bible bash the kids. That kind of thing. You shouldn't push your own faith like that. It's tempting, isn't it, to listen to that voice, that equivalent voice of flee, run away, settle for the quiet life, retire gracefully. That's a long way off for some of us. And I don't think I'll ever do it gracefully. But we shouldn't do that, should we? We should hear the counsel of David. Be of good courage. Jesus says, I have not changed. Be confident in who he is. Be confident in the hope you have to proclaim. Because it's truly wondrous, glorious, joyful news. And Biddulph and our world needs to hear it. Those young people need to hear a message of love and hope and truth.